Hey, on our next Coast to Coast program, Giorgio Tsoukalos joins us for a few hours as we talk about his Ancient Alien program that's on the History Channel and some inside information on that. And then we'll have open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. But this hour, I want you to talk about your angelic stories, your magic moments, how you were saved. We'll get to you when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we are where the hand of somebody came and saved you. Share those stories with us. Let's go to Eric Carlsbad, New Mexico, first-time caller. Hey, Eric, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment. I find your show entertaining, but, hey, it's amazing how people can read stuff into stuff, and I was just wondering if you could have that dude, Bratzo, on.
What's his name?
Bratzo, you know, the dude that stares at people and they feel stuff and think he's amazing. That'd be a cool
okay, we'll check into him. I don't know too much about him, but we'll find him.
All righty, I'm just gonna listen. Thanks.
Okay, sure thing. No, I'm not aware of who he is or what he does, but we will find out. Kate is with us west of the Rockies. Welcome to the show. Hi, Kate, go ahead.
Hi.
That's a cute little giggle. You didn't know you'd get on so fast, did you?
No, I didn't know what was going on. Anyway, I wanted to ask a question. I want to know whether or not spirit guides can come onto this earth with us and live with us without us knowing that there are spirit guides. Maybe they're a friend or a brother-in-law or a grandfather.
You mean in the physical realm?
Yeah, in the physical realm. Can they come and help us? Maybe if we need more help. Do you have any thoughts on that?
You mean like take over, possess a body for a good reason? Yeah.
It's a body, but actually come here and live with us and experience life with us.
Well, you know what? Remember that movie, City of Angels, with Nicolas Cage?
Yes.
I mean, he was like an angel who wanted to be human, and eventually he became one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a good question. If you believe in angels, can they manifest themselves in the physical plane? I don't think, you know, as they come back as your uncle or your brother or something, but are they among us right now? That's an interesting question. What do you think?
Yeah, but maybe if there's some people that need extra help, that they need somebody to grow with them in the physical realm, are they born to us? I mean, I have this man that I met later in life, and he was 70 years old. And I met him through a friend, and I just fell into his arms like I'd known him all in my life. And he's given me more guidance than anybody. And he even says, maybe I think I'm here for you, and that's my life purpose. I might be your spirit guide manifest in this life.
What if he and you were friends or married together in another life? What if what if you're reincarnated? See, I'm convinced that if reincarnation is real, that all of us in our lives, these close people you have in your life, your friends, your family, you were with them in another life too.
Yeah.
Roles were reversed, no doubt, but I mean, you were still all together.
Yeah.
So
I feel that.
So, you know, who's to say that he wasn't there in another life?
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe he's not my spirit guide. I don't know. I was just trying to ask maybe if a spirit guide could come and exist and live a human life with you for that purpose.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to rule it out. Not anymore.
Okay.
Not anymore. Okay, hey, thanks for the call. Let's go to Gary, Lexington, Kentucky. Hey, Gary, thanks for calling.
Yeah, George, I guess tonight is my night.
Yes.
I had an experience in seeing a cloud one time. I was a courier for 17 years, and, of course, I drove all over the state. And I was always looking in the sky for UFOs. And out of 17 years, I never saw one. And in my last year before I retired in 2008, I happened to look up and saw a cloud in the shape of a woman standing on a flat cloud. You know, she was perfect. All the detail was there, the arms, hair, everything. And the hair was different from the cloud. It was wavy lines and was where it should be and was blowing back. That was different.
Yeah.
And the, I want to say wing or whatever it was coming up from the back looked like it was just cut from white poster board or something. In other words, it was real sharp. And so I had three kinds of textured clouds that made this design, and I just said, well, the odds of that are probably one in a trillion. But no one wants to hear, if you don't have a photograph, nobody wants to hear the story. They're not interested.
It's difficult for them to picture what you're talking about.
Exactly. And I was just flabbergasted, and I pulled over to the side of the road and stared at it. But, the strip of road I was on, it was kind of narrow, and cars were, flying by, and it was kind of a bad situation. But I would have given anything to have photographed that.
And you wonder, Gary, why it's up there.
Exactly. And what made it? Because I don't think it was just water vapor that was, formed by different pressures. It had to been created, in my opinion.
Well, let's assume for a moment that clouds are made by intelligence, generally. That the planet does it. If you believe this planet is alive, and I'm already convinced it is, but I'm even more convinced because, when it rains and we need water, without water, we die, right?
Right.
What are the odds of us being able to get rain, on your grass and your trees and your bushes? It's like everything has a purpose. It's weird. So who knows? Maybe this planet creates clouds for whatever reason. Maybe they're playing games on us. I wonder what the woman meant, though. I wonder what the significance of that was for you.
I don't know. I was very stressed out from the job, and I was saying, well, am I just imagining this? And I actually looked away for about 30 seconds and then looked back, and it was still there.
The question is, are you the only one who could see that?
Right. And if you don't have a camera, and here's the sick part about it. I did have a Razor phone in my pocket, but I had never used it. The camera?
Yeah.
And that makes me sick.
You're trying to figure out, how does it work?
Yeah.
You got to learn the new technology. It's going by so fast.
I know. That was my one opportunity. And so I'll never get another shot like that again. But, I think it was more interesting, actually, than if it had been a UFO.
Yeah, I think so, too. Hey, thanks for the call, Gary. Neat. Let's go to Alyssa in Portland, Oregon. Hello, Alyssa.
Hello, how are you tonight, George?
Okay, how are you?
I'm good. Gave me something to think about. I haven't thought about it in a long time, about how you were saved.
How were you saved?
Okay. One summer, I was down visiting my grandmother for the whole summer, 3 months, down in Parris Valley. I was about 10, 11 years old. And she went to bed about 10 p.m., and I stayed up to watch the late shows and went to bed at midnight or so in the guest room. And then somewhere, I'm imagining between 1 and 4 a.m., I was awakened by two male, guard-like figures who were poking me in the side near my ribs, like with, those swords that they had on the ends of guns, or they were just prods.
Yeah.
And they were ordering. They said, he summons you, come now. And I knew it was happening. I was aware that I was dreaming. And it was a dream I was having, so I changed the dream, and just as I was going into another dream, they'd start the same thing, and they start stabbing me. So I obliged them, because I'd been in having jet lag and whatnot. And so I walked out into the living room, and all my grandmother's furniture was gone, and there was this, the whole size of the room was a metal plate, and there was people. They were sitting all facing inwards, some of them crying, some of them, they were all tied to these chairs, but there was no rope. They were like invisibly bound.
Who were they?
I don't know who they were. I didn't recognize any of them. And I said, and I looked around, and I couldn't find these guards were gone. There was two of them. And I said, they said, and I just heard this voice said, take your seat. Because there's only one chair that was empty.
You sounded demonic when you did that.
That's how it sounded.
Do that again.
Take your seat. and then I was saying, that's not for me. You don't know who I am, because I don't belong here, and you're not supposed to be here. And And I was looking for the Lord. I was looking for God. I was looking for my grandma. I was looking to wake up. I was looking for anything that, you know, because it was slowly turning.
Something that was familiar, right?
Into the ground. Well, I looked up through the breezeway in her kitchen, and it's not, Jesus doesn't look anything like he's depicted. He's pure energy, this light aglow.
So you felt goodness finally coming out.
No, he told Satan, he said, telepathically, release her. He said, she is mine. And the next thing I knew, I woke up in the morning, and I told my grandma about this too. I literally had bruises on my left rib. I had about six of them, the size of maybe 50 cent pieces.
Where they were squeezing you?
No, they were poking me with their little...
With these swords?
Yeah. And when I got up in the morning, grandma was still asleep. There was a book on her coffee table. It was called Power for Living. And I wasn't never religious or anything, but I read it cover to cover before she got up, and I asked her about it. She goes, oh, I came out and put that here for you after you'd went to sleep. I didn't want to wake you. I just thought you might be interested in it. And that's just too kind of strange.
All right. That is. But you were saved. Satan gave you up. I don't know why he would do that. Let's go to Pat in St. Joe, Arkansas, east of the Rockies. Hi, Pat.
Hey, so good to talk to you, George.
You
I'm
too.
Always trying to get a hold of you. I have a terrible time with numbers. But, hey, I've got a song, and I see the angels in the sky, and I can go anywhere and everywhere. And all your shows, they just give me so much validation to who I am. And that's what 2012 is all about, is who you are.
It's all knowledge on this program, isn't it?
And it's a horse with wings I see. I see the picture. It's a place in reality. It'll set you free. I'm so excited I can't sing even.
Maybe I prefer George Michael's songs.
Yeah. It is more?
I'm kidding.
Oh, I can usually sing really well, but like...
No, you did fine. You just...
And you know the...
Kind of caught me off guard, that's all.
You know the song, Where Have All the Flowers Gone?
That's a great song.
And
you don't have to sing that, though.
And I sing it really well.
I bet you do.
But you know, it's the flowers go to maidens, and the maidens go to the young men, and the young men go to the soldiers, and the soldiers go to graveyards, and the graveyards go to flowers, and it's back to the flowers. And there's no doubt about it. Reincarnation is very, very real.
All right, Pat. It's good to know that. Thanks for checking in. George Michael or Pat songs? Let's vote. George wins. Let's go to Jacob in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hey, Jacob.
How you doing there, George?
Okay.
I just want to share something that happened to me in 1992, you know. This happened at the Charismatic Center. That night we were having Bible studies and everything. And about a week before that, I was denouncing the Virgin Mary, you know. And I had forgotten my book, so I went back to my truck, you know, and that's when all this happened with me. Her spirit came over me, you know.
Why would you denounce her?
Well, I wasn't thinking too much about the Virgin. Even though I was a Catholic, I only thought it was Jesus, you know. I didn't think too much of her, you know. I know that she was the mother of Jesus, but for some reason I really didn't take it into heart, you know, that her being the mother, and that it was only Jesus that we pray to, you know. But
yeah,
anyway,
but she's the last person you want to knock around, believe me.
Well, this is what happened. So then when this happened, I went to my truck. As I got my Bible, I was going back into the, you know, to the place where they have Bible studies, and that's when her spirit came over me. It just came over me so powerful. It was such a powerful love that when it touched my heart, it was unbelievable. And then she even told me which one she was from. She said she was from Our Lady of Fatima. So then when she touched my heart, I almost broke down and cried. I almost dropped to my knees. And it was so powerful and so beautiful. It was the love I never experienced in my life. So then I went in. After that happened, it was gone. I had spoken to the lady what had happened to me. But then after that, the following morning, I woke up. I didn't realize something very special what she did for me, but I see purple and gold all the time now when I close my eyes.
And it's changed your life, it sounds like.
Yes, it was very powerful, but I see purple and gold all the time. Even in darkness, I see these colors. And that's what I wanted to share. She just came over and so powerful.
Well, it works in strange ways, Jacob, for a lot of different people. Hey, by the way, I want to tell you, my calendar schedule, for those of you in the Los Angeles area, posted up there at coasttocoastam.com under host, and also there's a section down at the bottom of the homepage. A couple events coming up in Feb and March, and if you're in the L.A. area, come on by. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. Let's go next to Bill in Bloomington, Illinois. Did you get some snow today, Bill, last couple days?
Oh, yeah, and we're willing to give you back anytime you want. California.
See, I tell you what, though, I got out of St. Louis in time. They got hit big, too.
Yeah, right now it's about 28 below, 25, 28 below.
Oh, that's with wind chill, right?
Yeah, that's wind chill. Yeah, it's 8 below now, but with wind chill, it's about 25, 28.
Oh, man, that's too cold. Too cold.
And we got two inches of snow, so. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, topping on top of a cake, I guess. It just gets better. Anyway, my story back in I'm 65, and back in 1964, I was living in Midlothian. It's 25 miles out of Chicago. It's a suburb. And they had a Dutch elm tree, and anybody knows Dutch elms, it's like trying to cut concrete. I mean, it's a really hard tree. It's not like walnut or birch or anything like that.
Right.
And I was up on a one-rung ladder, so to speak, extension, and had ropes on the limbs, and I was cutting it with a saw and an axe and whatever. And it was probably about 6, maybe 8 inches around. I thought it was going to swing to the left of me and away from me, but what it did, it pinged me in the chest. And, I mean, with that much weight, I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe.
Oh,
I mean,
it's crushing you.
Well, that's what it was. And I thought, well, I guess I'm dying today. I didn't think that, but I knew, I mean, without breathing. All of a sudden, this guy comes out of nowhere. And he was, now this is just unreal. With one hand, he lifts the branch off my chest. With the other hand, he wraps around my waist and carries me down the ladder.
Who was he, Superman?
it brings tears to my eyes right now, even talking about it. So I bent down to take a breath. I looked, and he was gone.
Oh.
And I never have forgot that, because theoretically I probably should be dead. But the ironic thing about it, when we talk about angels, of all the times I've listened Coast to Coast with, you know, it's been over 12 years. This is the only time I've ever gotten in when we've talked about angels.
See, how about that? There is synchronicity there. Let me tell you. And, it's remarkable that these angels come and do what they have to do, and then they just disappear. Well, we're not going to disappear. We're going to come back in just a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM for you and finish up with some more of your magic moment angelic stories right here on Coast to Coast AM. If you need to email me, george@coast2coastam.com. And we're talking about angels and intervention and how things saved for you. Next hour, we're going to have more of Coast to Coast. We replay the first hour for a lot of you who don't have an opportunity to pick up the program. It's a program that goes on forever. I like that. Forever. Bainbridge, Washington. Beth, your turn on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show, Beth. Hi.
Hi.
Hey. Hello.
Is this Tom?
It better not be Tom if he ousted me in a coup.
Oh, there you are. I hear you now. Okay, so you were cutting out a little bit there, George.
But does Tom have a habit of coming back to talk to you later?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I just wanted to ask a couple of questions, but I would like to share a story with you and your listeners.
All right.
I was driving along one day and going to school and all this sort of thing and stopped for a red light. And since I was about 10 years old, I've been into, I have an audio. I'm nervous. Anyway, I hear things and voices and stuff. And so I was stopped at the red light, and a little voice came in and said, "Fear not, child of light. I give to thee a great and wondrous gift." And I just sat there, and someone honked, and I went across the road, and it's bothered me, and I've thought about it for years, and I've asked people, you know, what do you think this means, and all this sort of thing. So a couple of years ago, I was in a bookstore.
All right.
And I saw this, the color on the front of the book is what grabbed my attention, about 15 feet away, and it was called Return of the Children of Light when I got over there. And it was a picture of Machu Picchu on the front of the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grabbed the book, and I read it, and I went home, and I thought about it. And everywhere I'd go, something would come up, and I know that it sounds like I'm mispronouncing it, but my guide told me when I came back, if you don't tell people that it's Machu Picchu, not Machu Picchu, I would be very angry with you. So that's why I'm calling it that. Anyway, I got back home and from the bookstore, and I looked at that, and then I began to read everything I could on Machu Picchu. And my cousin called one day and said, let's go on a trip. And I said, where? And he said, let's go to Machu Picchu. And I said, sounds good to me. So off we went. And it was a wonderful, wonderful tour. And I couldn't wait to get to the Citadel. And so while we were on our way up there.
You walked all the way up.
I went up to the Intihuatana, to the Temple of the Sun.
How high up is that?
Well, the mountain itself, let me explain a little bit. I always thought that the giant mountain, you know, that's shaped like a bullet, was Machu Picchu. I didn't realize that the entire area, the citadel, the city, the whole thing, is Machu Picchu. And so there are little buses that bring you up to the gate, and you get out and go in. And I think probably it's about 2,000, maybe a little higher feet up. About 3,000 to the very top, and then you can go across and crawl and walk around this mountain that I always called Machu Picchu, but it's actually Huayna Picchu. It means
you walked up that night. Anyways, go ahead, finish your story.
Yeah, walked up, and then we started back down, and one of the guides said, "Oh, look, there's a condor," and I looked up, and I missed it. I didn't get to see it, and so the next stop was the Temple of the Condor. Now, this is where you and your listeners are going to think I'm really round the bend, but I swear this happened. For about 6 months, I had been receiving some messages or feelings or something about bring something golden, soft and golden, a ring with a golden stone, something you need to take this to Machu Picchu. So I did. And when we got to the Temple of the Condor, inside the temple is this huge stone. It's a flat stone, and it has a white collar, and it's a picture of a condor that's just a natural phenomenon there in the rock. And it has a white collar in the head, and then the wings are up on the side that are behind you. So I looked around, and I knew the story, so I was kind of snooping around there. And there was a wall, and I thought, oh, this would be a good place to leave the ring with the golden stone. So I put it between my fingers, and there was a crack just wide enough. Most of the cracks were so tight you couldn't even get a piece of paper in between. But this one was wide enough that I could stick my arm in, and I turned my hand sideways and jammed that ring into the wall. And I pulled my hand back out, and I was standing there, and I looked to the kind of out of my peripheral vision, this man appeared, and he was dressed in a costume. And I thought, oh, they're going to have some sort of show or something, you know. And he had a red short little kind of skirt thing on, and a golden collar that was laced and tied in the back with leather and leather sandals. And his hair was straight and cut short with bangs. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and what I heard was, you can see me. And I said, yeah, I can see you. This is all thought talk. And shoop, he was gone into the crack. And I had a split second, and I said, if you can do it, I can do it. And I went into the crack, too, and I have no memory.
You went into the crack?
I went in behind him. I figured if he could go in, I could go
in. What was in there?
That's the last thing I remembered. I didn't even remember this. We came back out. I don't remember leaving. I don't remember going back down the mountain. But when we got, there's a huge hotel there at the entrance. And we went in, and I'd been looking forward.
Beth, you told me a story for 6 minutes that you went into a crack, and you don't know what you went in there for?
I didn't even know this, didn't even remember this until a month after I came back.
Well, you got to find out. You better find out. Michael in Biloxi, Mississippi. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah. Thanks, man. I'm glad to get on the show. I've been calling for a month every night straight. My thing is, 2 years ago, I had a massive stroke. I was 24 years old. I had a massive stroke, and I was paralyzed for about 9 months.
Man, you sound like you're doing great now, Michael.
Well, yeah, I've made a full recovery now, but the only thing that's got me, and it's kind of funny because, to tell you the truth, I listen to your show, and I think you're the only one that's not going to call me crazy, because all my friends have called me crazy, even my wife. Directly after I had the stroke, I noticed something about energy. Whenever lightning, like there's a storm outside or anything, it's like it tastes like there's a battery in my mouth. And shortly afterwards, I started noticing lights in my house. It all started with lights going on and off in my house. My wife would be in the back room, in the bedroom, and the light will just come on for nothing, and the switch is not moved. Shortly after that, I took a job as a taxi driver.
Okay.
And something I've noticed every night, it happened, no matter what town I'm in, what street I'm on, like street lights, signs in stores, the lights over the gas pumps are all going off and coming on.
As you get close to them.
As I get close to them, and they're flickering. Like the lights in my house, I had my friend, he's an electrician, come and check all my wires. He said, there's nothing wrong with your wires. But for some reason, when I can't go into the kitchen without the light bulb flickering.
Now, do people see this happen too, or just you?
Yes, my wife sees it happen, but she's one of those people, you know, she just tries to push it off and say, oh, it ain't nothing. But what really gets it is it never done this until I had the stroke. And directly after I had the stroke, I started, like, tasting electricity. I mean, it's funny to say, you know, like, yeah, somebody like, well, how do you know what electricity tastes like? It's the equivalent of putting 3 or 4 9-volt batteries on your tongue.
Ugh. Well, something's going on with you. I mean, you definitely are drawing this electricity into your system.
And see, here's another thing. As far as my vehicles, I own 3 vehicles. And at least once a week, I have to jump 2 or 3 of them off. The batteries in my vehicles.
you drain them.
But how am I draining? See, that's what I don't understand. And I haven't even been able to find a book to read about this.
Well, let me ask you something, Michael. Do you feel any burst of energy when this is going on?
I feel tingling sensations.
Just tingling.
Like my whole body. Like just talking about it right now, my whole body feels like I am a battery.
Well, you don't feel like you've been recharged, do you?
No, I don't ever feel like, well, yeah, so to speak. Yeah, I feel like I'm charged up. As far as energy, I went from sleeping 8 to 9 hours regularly to now I'm only sleeping about 3 hours a night.
And you don't need any more, do you?
No. Oh, no, not I wake up and I don't feel drowsy. I want to get up. I go to work. That's the only way I can overcome this sensation is I just drive.
You're a human lithium battery now, Michael.
Yeah, and see, one of my friends made that same joke. He's like, you know, anytime the lights go out, I just put a light bulb in your mouth and we'll see what happens.
He might be right.
Well, a lot of my friends have been cacking jokes and calling it crazy, but see, the thing is, at first I thought, well, yeah, it's kind of funny, but now it's not so funny. Actually, I'm getting kind of worried about it because it's like as time goes on, it gets more and more and more. It all started out where I would notice 1 or 2 streetlights a night. Now, it's almost every road I go on, and that's a lot of roads.
Well, you seem to be drawing more and more power. I wouldn't worry too much about it, and I've got to tell you, I have never heard someone sound as good as you after 2 years of a horrible stroke.
Yeah, it was a pretty bad. See, and the thing about the stroke is it was a mysterious thing. Even my doctor and my neurologist, they don't understand it, because like I said, I was 24 when it happened.
Well, are you on medicine now?
Yes, I'm on medicine now for blood pressure. See, that's how it happens. One day I'm perfectly fine, perfectly fit, just got a police academy. And then the next day I have high blood pressure, and then the next week I'm laying in the hospital with a stroke.
God.
And see, my doctor, he's like, he's never seen somebody at my age, you know, something like that just
that quick, just comes on and just happens to them.
And I take it there went the police future, right?
Yeah, because now, you know what I'm saying, it's the insurance thing and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I got to say that you're probably drawing energy. It happens, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But for some reason, your body needs it. Let's go to Evelyn in Houston, Texas, while we have some time. Hi, Evelyn.
Hi, George. Thank you so much for taking my call. Gosh, I'm addicted to you guys.
Right. That's a good thing.
You're keeping me up all night long. I can't turn the radio
That's off. A good addiction. There are a lot of addictions on this planet, Evelyn, but being addicted to this program is probably a healthy thing.
Amen. Amen. I just happened to find you because normally I listen to my Christian radio station, and then at 11 o'clock it goes to just this elevator music or something. And so every night at 11 o'clock you come on, and I'm up half the night.
So you pick me over the elevator music?
Oh, absolutely.
Thanks,
absolutely.
Ellen.
I even pick you. Hey, I pick you even over my Christian station some night. I can't. It's like I'm drawn to your station.
Well, don't tell the man upstairs that.
Well, you guys
want to get him
really,
too upset.
Yeah, you guys have some really interesting subjects. I loved last week. I loved the show that you did on the near-death experiences. Would like to hear more about that.
Well, we do many of that. And, of course, you know, tomorrow night I'm going to be broadcasting live the International Tiddlywinks Convention from Southern California.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
well,
you know, and I don't know if you've ever been to one of those.
No,
but
I haven't.
They've got 22 contestants, and you know what tiddlywinks are, right? They're those
right.
little buttons that you
Oh, absolutely.
You hit. So I'll be broadcasting that live, and I'll be doing the play-by-play.
Oh,
what
well,
do you think
great.
About
well,
that? So you have a choice now between that and the Christian elevator music. What are you going to listen to?
I think I'll still tune in to you.
You have to.
Night.
There's nothing more exciting than listening to a tiddlywink contest on the radio.
Honestly, I didn't even know they still made tiddlywinks, so I'm that old that I remember playing with those.
Maybe
so,
I should have said something else then.
So, hey, I really do enjoy your show, and it's really, you guys explore such a variety of topics and very, very interested. And you know, that Tom guy that was on earlier was really funny because he was talking about the clouds, and myself, I think as children, you know, we all could see things in the clouds. And it was really funny, though, because I have a friend that needs to walk that had a cancer and a COPD, and he has to walk at night. And a couple of months ago, we were walking. We normally just walk around the block and look up in the clouds. And same thing the guy described. I saw a guy, a man on a white horse, you know, on a horse. And I thought, oh, is it Jesus coming to rapture us out of here? I hope. But unfortunately, it wasn't. I just found that really strange that he would see that same thing. I've had that experience many times with the clouds. And I think even as children, we do. But
we all have. Our imaginations make it. And, you know, but his pictures are pretty neat.
Well, and that's what I wanted to ask you. Now, I can find those pictures on your website, you said. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and I know you said that one of the books he wrote was Journey to the Clouds. What did you say the other name of that book was?
Faces of the Universe.
That's what it was, Faces of the Universe. You know, something I wanted to talk about was that do you know anything about Native American artifacts, Indian artifacts?
Oh, sure. Okay. I'm not an expert, but I know about it.
I'm not an expert either, but, you know, I got the bug. Someone took me. I'm in stage 4 breast cancer, believe it or not. I should be dead by now, but doing great. But a few years ago, when I was 50, I think I was 52, I'm 57 now, someone took me in Arrowhead, honey, and really got the bug. And I was in Arkansas at the time, but moved up to Virginia and started hunting artifacts and found really things that were older than, you know, the arrowheads, more like the spear points and the older tools, the mortars, pestles, things of that nature. And for the first time, really, George, I thought I was hallucinating. I don't know if you've ever noticed the images on the rocks, which, of course, the Indians pecked on the rocks. But it's amazing to me because I was up for 3 days when I started seeing these images on the rocks.
Well, they were great artisans. I mean, they did a superb job.
It's amazing that they could, with such detail, create such images on the rocks
and multiple
images.
And even, you know what, even take it back thousands of years, the artwork of our ancient ancestors, absolutely incredible. So I want you to do me a quick favor, okay, Evelyn?
Okay.
I want you to go to your drugstore tomorrow and ask them for pH test strips. Can you remember that?
I can. I'm writing it down. pH.
Yeah, you just go back in the pharmacy section, okay?
Right.
And I want you to test yourself then the following day. You have to do it in the morning.
Okay.
And I'm telling you that your pH level, your alkaline level, is probably very low. I think you're acidic, which is how cancer grows. Once you find out that you're acidic, and I'm guaranteed you are, and I want you to call us back and tell me I was right.
Okay.
Then I want you to go to a health food store and say, I want green powdered mix.
Green powdered mix.
And I want you to drink it every day. It starts to balance your pH level.
Really?
All right. And I want to see what happens to you. I want you to check in with me, okay? Also,
I just had a PET scan yesterday, so then I can track that progress.
Yep, and this is all natural. Keep doing what your doctor tells you. This won't hurt you. I've got to run. Do me a quick favor. Say goodnight to the world for me. Go ahead.
Hey, good night, United States of America and the world. And tune in tomorrow night for George doing tiddlywinks. Thank you, George.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on my next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.